This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Monday. Protesters across the U.S. held demonstrations Friday to condemn violence from Immigration and Customs Enforcement in Minneapolis. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz reports high schoolers from Carbondale to Glenwood Springs joined the effort Friday morning by walking out of classes.
Dozens of students met at the Highway 133 roundabout in Carbondale Friday morning, showing their support for immigrants and their disdain for ICE. Roaring Fork Junior Sierra Burkholder says that many students didn't find out about the protests until late last night or early this morning. But that didn't stop her and her classmates from showing up.
It's disgusting what's happening. They're killing innocent people. They detained a five-year-old. They're detaining people who have no crimes. I think that's it's really powerful in a little town to talk about how much we see what's happening in bigger areas. Like, there's not much ICE here, but there's enough.
This comes just days after a man was detained by ICE in Old Snowmass on Wednesday. Other students say they showed up because what ICE is doing is unconstitutional, and they want to protest that. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
Another rally in support of Minneapolis was held in Glenwood Springs at the high school Friday afternoon. Glenwood Springs High School closed Friday because so many teachers called out of work. Snowmass Village Town Council has approved the preliminary plan for the 66-unit draw site affordable housing project. The Aspen Daily News reports that councilors voted 3-2 to advance the proposal to final review, though it will still require a supermajority vote for final approval. Dissenting councilors cited concerns over the project's mass, scale, and parking impacts. The $75 million single-building project would include 102 parking spaces, exceeding town requirements. The Planning Commission has recommended reducing parking and addressing traffic and pedestrian safety before the final plan returns to council. Climate change could cost Colorado $37 billion by 2050. That's according to a new report by the Colorado Fiscal Institute. Lawmakers presented the findings during a rally at the state capitol on Friday. The event was part of Climate Disasters Awareness Week and featured speakers who had lost their homes during the Marshall Fire. Hannah Berman, Sustainability Director at Aspen One, said shortened winters mean instability for the thousands of workers the ski company employs in the Roaring Fork Valley.
A town that has lost a month of winter since 1980. That's 31 days that no longer get below freezing due to climate change.
The new research found that Colorado could lose another 10 days of winter by mid-century. The bulk of the $37 billion lost because of climate change are expected to come from extreme heat, infrastructure failures, and wildfire damage. Researchers emphasize that the dollar figures are conservative and could be much higher since they don't include some costly hazards like hailstorms. In statewide news, scientists are organizing to defend the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder. As CPR Sam Brash reports, that comes after the Trump administration asked for ideas to dismantle the iconic research hub.
The National Science Foundation published the official request in a letter last week. It's looking for ideas to potentially divide NCAR's work predicting the weather from its climate science. Daniel Swain is a University of California climate scientist with a desk at NCAR. He says that just doesn't make practical sense.
Weather and climate exist along the same spectrum of atmospheric science, and the more we artificially separate them, the less we're able to predict either.
Other science advocacy groups are pushing researchers or anyone else to respond with their own comments by a March 13th deadline. I'm Sam Brash, CPR News.
Xcel Energy defended the planned power shutoffs it carried out in December during a hearing before Colorado lawmakers on Friday. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Lucas Brady Woods reports.
Xcel cut power to thousands of customers along the Northern Front Range as a way to mitigate wildfire risk during several days of extremely dry and windy conditions. But lawmakers said the shutoffs had serious impacts on communities, from lost revenue for businesses to risks for people who rely on electricity to power medical devices. Xcel President Robert Kenney said the shutoffs were necessary.
We take seriously our neighbors' safety, and that is job one, and that's why we execute a public safety power shutoff to protect public safety.
Kenney also said the company is working to shorten future shutoffs and minimize their impacts. Residents and business owners who lost power testified at Friday's hearing, along with local government and emergency management officials.
That was Lucas Brady Woods for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Attorney General Phil Weiser is challenging the Trump administration's emergency order to keep a coal-fired power plant open in Craig. CPR Sam Brash reports.
In a statement, Weiser said there's no emergency justifying the order, issued by the U.S. Department of Energy in December. Tri-State Generation and Transmission planned to shutter the plant last year to shift to renewables. Weiser filed a lawsuit claiming the federal government vastly exceeded its authority by forcing the utility to drop those plans. Environmental groups and Governor Polis have also cried foul over the order, saying it'll increase energy bills. I'm Sam Brash, CPR News.
And in regional news, Native Americans across the country are reporting being stopped and in some cases detained by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. In response, tribal officials in several states are warning community members about immigration enforcement activity and sharing information about what to do if they're approached by ICE. Beth Margaret Wright is a senior staff attorney with the Native American Rights Fund, or NARF, based in Boulder. She says the organization is hearing accounts describing what she calls troubling encounters with ICE, some of which have led to arrests and detentions. Wright says NARF has also received reports that some ICE officers are refusing to accept tribal identification as a valid form of ID.
We've seen that consistently throughout history, that various forms of law enforcement don't accept or don't think a tribal ID is valid, which is unfortunate because those are IDs issued by federally recognized tribes, by recognized tribes that people can use through TSA to travel, all of those things. But because tribal citizens are also U.S. citizens, they're not required to provide any form of identification unless in certain circumstances they're asked, and they're not required to have it on them at all times.
Wright says that tribal citizens are also U.S. citizens, and in most situations are not required to carry ID or even provide it unless specific legal conditions are met. NARF has published guidance for Native Americans who are approached by ICE on its website, narf.org. 2025 marked a decline in media coverage of human-caused climate change. That's according to research from CU Boulder's Media and Climate Change Observatory, which says media coverage helps the public and lawmakers make sense of the impacts of climate change. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yannis has more.
Many of the stories on climate change in the U.S. over the past year focused on the Trump administration rolling back climate research, funding, and programs. Max Boykoff, the lead researcher for the project, says dismantling these systems isolates us from the rest of the world during a time when global action is needed. But, he says, despite the administration's rejection of climate change as a talking point, it's still a big deal in policy discussions, and that lived experience is the biggest driver of political action around climate change.
While energy affordability, while considerations around food prices and on, there's many inroads into what can be then seen as and discussed as climate policy decision making.
He says these issues, along with drought and wildfire, will likely play a big role in the 2026 midterm elections, even if candidates don't use the words climate change when discussing them. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Among the 232 athletes representing the U.S. in next month's Winter Olympics in northern Italy, many have ties to our region. The Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen has more.
Colorado is sending 31 athletes to Milan Cortina, more than any other state. There are 17 from Utah, 5 from Idaho, 3 from Wyoming, and 2 from Montana and Arizona. They include decorated Olympians, but also first-timers, like 22-year-old Nordic combined athlete Nicholas Malasinski of Steamboat Springs, Colorado. From training grounds in Austria, he says he's feeling relief and excitement.
Obviously, performance is at the top of my priority list, but I also feel like I need to remind myself that I need to take in the moment and realize the work that has gone into making it to this stage.
Also hailing from the Mountain West are 11 U.S. snowboarders and both U.S. athletes in the brand new Olympic sport of ski mountaineering. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.